Are you?
I am.
Okay, Rob.
Jersey.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
I think it was a good idea to have our Lean and Tart meeting before we record the Extra Lean this time, because now I'm warmed up. Remember when we started?
Yeah, I like how I'd be switching it up. Some days it's like jumping straight in is perfect because I have that like, I'm so excited. I can't wait to chat with Jersey about all these things. But like, I don't know, we had other twists and turns and conversations that were good to have and take care of that stuff.
We did some Art Buddy talk. Yes.
Art Buddy talk. And yeah.
But no, it also warmed me up. I feel like I'm warmed up now. And whereas when we started, I was like, oh, Rob, I'm so tired. Now I'm not tired. So I want to jump into something. Do you have this drawing app called Layer Paint for Android for your Galaxy Note 10.1? What?
Yes, I do.
Did you update it?
Today?
I think it updated yesterday.
Okay, maybe. I did not update it yesterday.
Oh, dude.
What?
I'll show this to you and I'll describe it to the folks in the audio. Okay, so there was a major update and it launched some features, and I posted about this in Google+. I think for folks who have a pressure sensitive Android tablet, Layer Paint has just jockeyed for position to be the comics drawing app for this device.
What?
All right, hold on. So if you look at the top, I don't know if you can see this, Rob. Can you see this? There's a new tab. There's a new tool palette of what they call professional tools. Now, these professional tools, there are different grids you can select. I'm going to select the grid guides, which puts a grid on my screen. And now I can't draw any lines unless they adhere to that grid. It is ruling. It's guiding my pen for me. You see that?
Funny.
Now, wait for it. I'm going to choose...
Don't do it. It's going to...
Speed lines. I'm going to choose a radial pattern, and now I can make speed lines that converge on a vanishing point. Think of this like the perspective tool in Manga Studio, right?
Oh, yeah. So it's, the speed lines are essentially, you know, one-point perspective.
It's a one-point perspective grid, and you can choose different perspectives by... selecting, there's like a dot tool, and it like gives you a red dot that you can move around, so you can move where that converges.
So it's effectively a perspective tool. You have one perspective plane at a time that you're...
And you've got parallel lines tool. What's going on here? No, I don't want to finish this application. Oh, I just closed it. But there's a parallel lines tool too, where it will let you draw a bunch of, you know, like... So basically, you've got a perspective tool engine built into Layer Paint. And it gave you a bunch of other tools, like you can turn off anti-aliasing for lines now, which is nice.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is huge.
That is actually kind of big. And you can have big canvases in there. I imported a Photoshop canvas that was 7 inches by 10.5 inches, 300 DPI, drawing in it just fine. So now I can draw full size as I do on my Mac. It exports to PSD. So if I need to, I can just drop it into Dropbox and then open it up on my desktop. And it's got perspective tools in it, and it's got grid guides. You could do professional comics in this thing now.
That's so cool.
This is the part that blows my mind. The app is $2.50. I know I'm doing an ad for Layer Paint, but not everybody who listens to the Extra Lean has these tablets. But if you do, I mean, actually, there's a rumor that Samsung's coming out with an 8-inch version this year. For, you know, significantly less than what we paid for ours.
Wow. And even that, it was a deal at that price. I mean,
actually it was
at about $500 or whatever. I notice, they do seem like they're coming down a little bit. Where did I see that? It's like a Costco ad or something, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I downloaded that.
Just a tiny bit. I mean, not buyer's remorse drop in price, but
like $30 off kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No buyer's remorse on my behalf or on my part. I love the thing. I love it, love it, love it. I have not loved a piece of technology like this since I got my first iPhone, right? And like now I've had two iPhones. It's been around long enough that I'm starting to get a little bit of that fatigue. Like, what else are you going to do, Apple? Jeez, whatever. You already made an amazing device. Now you got to impress me again.
Oh, God. You're talking about the Kano model of customer satisfaction. This is a Kano. Kanji Kano, I think Kano came up with this in the 80s, and I heard about it through the User Interface Engineer podcast by Jared Spool of, is it UIE.com? Anyway, just look for the Spoolcast or via Google or whatever, you'll find it. And, yeah, and he has a recent episode talking about this. And this is it's a really interesting thing that I cannot believe I haven't come across this model before. And I think we should totally, you know, not to resume our business meeting while we record, we should consider this as well for Lean. It's art. But essentially, you have quadrants, and I don't have this mastered yet. But essentially, you model customer, customer satisfaction. You end up with three arcs. That model different levels of satisfaction associated with different features, right? There's in the upper quadrant you have delight and that's like this curving, you know, upward facing banana, and then below it is a straight line that just goes off from the lower left to the upper right, and is a those are like, that's the defaults, like features that fall in that category are like, you know, it's got to have this. I have more trust if it's got these things, you know, it doesn't crash all. It never crashes or whatever, but like up above, if it's near that banana, that's surprise and delight. And inherently features that were once in that category migrate down.
Yeah. They become the norm.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that the Kano model addresses, and that helps you have conversations about, because you know, people can feel like, well, yeah, we did this customer satisfaction survey 10 years ago and we knew that blah, blah, blah. So that's a fact forever, right?
What is it, Janet Jackson who says, what have you done for me lately?
Janet Jackson told us all.
She warned us. Mm-hmm. She was there with the sandwich board.
Exactly.
But yeah,
sorry for that tangent there. I just think I got excited for the
connection. Well, no, you're right. You just defined it. I mean, because I was making fun of myself for being a jerk for saying this marvelous, delightful piece of
technology. It's a real phenomenon. You are not alone. Like, we all fall off the banana.
We all fall off the banana. That's the title.
That's cool. Yeah, I've never heard anyone say that for the Kano model. But anyway,
you coined it. Banana, writing it down. There it is. We're off to see. All right. So anyway, I was just excited because I was touting the note as being a pretty big deal when it came out, right? I got right in front of that thing and said, this, everybody, look at this thing. But the one question everybody asked me was, can you do professional work on it? And I'm like, well, it's awesome for sketching, you know, but I could not say you could do professional work on it. Now I feel confident that it's a different user interface because it's mobile, but you can, I feel confident you can do professional work on it. There's different things you have to consider, because I mean, there's 2 gigs of RAM on the thing. The processor's only so fast. So in order to get like really good, responsiveness out of the pen, I've got to turn off Wi-Fi, make sure the few background processes are going on, so I get the maximum amount out of that processor. But once I've done that, it's pretty snappy and responsive. So,
And I do find that does, there's multiple apps competing at this level, I think, because of course there is Papyrus and there is Sketchbook Pro. Sketchbook Pro keeps getting better. And I don't, what's tough is I learned Sketchbook Pro. I started using Sketchbook Pro like probably around 2004. So I've just been using this app for a long time and feeling really comfortable with it. Back when I was using a tablet PC, right?
Okay.
Was a Fujitsu Lifebook. It's sitting over there, lifeless book, but yeah.
That's always the tough one too, right? It's like when you're in a comfort zone, because my big chip on my shoulder with Sketchbook Pro is you can't adjust the canvas size.
Yes, you can.
What? No, you can't. I updated it and I still can't. Where do you go to do that?
Adjust the canvas size. You can create with different canvas sizes.
Hold on.
Start a new one.
Phone.
I'm holding
start a new one. All right, so where do I go to start a new project? I'm guessing up here.
Yeah, it's in the upper left.
Yeah, go up to the upper left. I'm going to go to the plus sign. Okay, I could do 2560 by 1600. Mm-hmm. but still not full comic page size. Yeah. And you get less layers. And I'm guessing they're doing this to keep it within the parameters of safe operating with the RAM and processing speed that you have, right?
I don't know if it's that dynamic. I mean, it could be just an overgeneralization where they're releasing this for multiple devices.
Because you could do 1280 by 800, you get 18 layers. 1920 by 1200, you get 10 layers. 2560 by 1600, you get 6 layers. But see, layer paint lets you come up with whatever dimensions you want.
All right. Yeah, I know. It's... The layer paint UI is not quite as polished. I do not like that taskbar below my art all the time, and
it's taking up a lot of space on the screen.
And it adds extra steps that are basically their gestures in SketchBook Pro.
True.
So I dig layer paint. I did No Remorse River Horse in the Land of the Rabbits. I did that in layer paint 100%.
Oh, did you really?
Yep.
You probably told me that before.
24-hour comic day. Yep.
But what we're highlighting here is that when I can't help but always default to teacher mode. What we're highlighting here is that we are coming up with our, what would you call this? Your must have. And when we were talking earlier about like the that quadrants with like
the Kano model. Yeah.
The Kano model. Like, you're coming up with, like, here are the things I must have in order to trust it. Here are the things that I must have in order to, you know, commit to it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I looked at layer paint and I said, you know, the interface is a little chunky. It feels like it was designed for the phone first and kind of, like, stretched out for the tablet. Because those buttons on the bottom row are huge.
Oh, yeah. Honk.
Yeah. And then, you got to dig down into some things in order to find functionality sometimes. Everything's, like, kind of grouped into weird nests in there. But it, unlike any of the other drawing apps I found for it, gives me lots of different, you know, canvas sizes. I haven't found a limit on layers yet. It does get a little laggy when I put big images in there and put a lot of layers on it. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a couple things where it's like I look at SketchBook Pro, I'm like, this is a very mature interface. It's lovely looking. But, what? I can't do professional comic pages in here? And here's the funny thing. This is where I'm such a lizard-brained, human sometimes. I don't even know if I'm going to do a professional-grade illustration on this thing. I may just continue to use it as a sketchbook. I'm toying with the idea of doing some high-res comics in there, but I haven't committed to that. So why am I so married to one app over the other, right?
Because would it upsample so bad, though? The thing is, let's say you did it in a little less than your ideal resolution. Right?
Yeah.
Would it upsample so bad? I mean, it depends on the amount of detail that you're trying to squeeze in, right?
Right.
But if you get the right line qualities and if you're able to, as you process and assemble your book, which is probably going to happen on a different device, right?
Yeah.
If you're Coco Potrace in all the pages, who knows? I mean, would it yield the output? It might mush and abuse your lines, but it might not. I don't know. Worth exploring.
It is worth exploring. So I don't know if we modeled anything useful to anybody.
I don't know. And you know what? This is extra lean. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
This is us goofing around.
We're goofing around, but even when we're goofing around, we, you know, can't help but it often be purposeful and analyze stuff. And
yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
Double duty out of everything. So I just emptied my clip.
Clip. Oh, okay, cool. I don't know. So as far as like other things or let's see, it's so funny. I work on projects, and a lot of times I'm not comfortable sharing a lot publicly until I'm farther along. So work continues on the game project that I started. Actually, I started a couple game projects, and it was a little bit of a bake-off as far as which of the engines would seem like I had, I solved more problems sooner. And, you know, because I just did some quick prototyping with, you know, placeholder art and whatever. And then the one that was really, you know, showed a lot of potential to be realized sooner. I went, okay, cool. I'm going to do that one. Started adding more art to it. And I don't know. I'll have more to share later on that, but.
I just had this discussion on the Comics Are Great show. What would it be yesterday? When I was talking with Chris Straub on the show.
Oh, cool.
And which was really just so much fun. It was such a fun conversation. I haven't laughed like that in a while. but one of the things we talked about was like, how do you evaluate what project to take on next? And he kind of was very upfront about saying like, well, whichever one has some kind of monetary mechanism built into it where I can clearly see how it could make me money.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I had to backtrack really fast. I'm like, okay, let's look at this for a second because, you know, you're 19. You're drawing crummy little mini comics. And you're trying to decide what to do next. That can't be your first, you know, what am I trying to say?
He's at a different place. So I'll bring
he's
up
a different place.
Another, yeah, it kills me. It's the name of an actor, but it's not named after an actor. And it's a ranking system for skill.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, whatever. I'll look it up while you're talking. Sorry, go ahead.
All right, you can look it up.
But yeah, so basically he's an expert, right? And yes. you need to be making affordances for people who aren't there right. yet. They're earlier in their path.
So the thing is like that I tried to you know, draw out and bring into the discussion was that yes, for him with so much expertise, he knows he can deliver on, if you put five projects in front of him, he knows he can deliver on any of those. So, but when you're starting out, it's can I deliver on this thing? Right. That I think was the interesting distinction to make is that if you don't know if you can deliver on A, B, or C, it's not the time to be thinking about money yet. But when you've gotten to the point where you can comfortably say, like when you were looking at those two games, I bet you were saying, I can deliver on either of these.
Mm-hmm.
But which one can I deliver on faster so I can start netting a return on it faster, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's a different place. It's a different place. So like that's the thing that I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
So
if that
funny.
Was...
I was asked a similar question. So I was asked about let's see. My nephew emailed me this evening before our meeting, and mentioned, oh, he's working on a school project, and it was didn't get into a lot of details, but it's something about looking at our video games bad essentially, and part of the he did some research, and part of the results is he's sharing the results as a video game, and he was curious about, well, would it be a good, you know, where would I. Is there a, he asked it quite the triangle of attributes. Cause it was like, is there a game creating framework that is free, easy and good.
Oh, isn't that Venn diagram that people use for freelancing?
It's similar to the project management triangle. Yeah. Of, yeah. I mean, you can have things, you can manage the, you know, theoretically, you can manage two out of three, right? Where you can have
good, fast, and cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, yeah. So it's fun, but I mean, so he was in a different place, and I ran through. It took me just to write a few sentences in the email. It took me like about a half hour research and thinking on it to just get to the like what would really work because I don't need to provide a laundry list. I like kept telling myself, don't send him a laundry list. Don't send him because there's so many options and. Yeah, anyway, so in his case, I recommended Scratch, by the way.
Scratch. I've heard of that one. I thought you were going to say Unity.
Nope. It's a way different situation. So you're learning Unity. You are I'm trying to remember the language behind it. I think it has a C-like syntax, so it's very, you know, JavaScript, ECMAScript-like syntax. And that's beyond someone who, you know, they don't even know what a loop is yet, really. Right, okay. They don't know what a variable is yet necessarily until you show it to them in context and whatnot. And so, yeah. Anyway, something
so
like
Scratch is in starting from scratch.
Scratch is exactly. Yep. bingo.
Oh.
And I think it could be a pun because open source apps are ecosystems are full of silly puns and it's based off of Squeak. right? Which is based off of small talk, which I think squeak is a form of talking small, and scratch is like a kitty going after, and whatever. I don't know.
Oh, I get it. Okay. I thought it was also referring to scratches and money. No, but like also money. Like I don't have enough scratch.
I bet. Could exactly. I'm sure.
Wordplay is fun.
It is. It is.
Actually, yeah. You more than most people I know enjoy wordplay.
Anyway, so, whatever. Yeah, I totally get that as far as... where did you go? I mean, obviously, I'll go listen to the episode. And obviously, if anyone's listening to this, they need to go download Comics Are Great. But...
It's not up yet. I'm still waiting for the edited versions to come in. But yes, when it is online, it will be at comicsaregreat.com/CAG73. I pretty much explained where we went with that. It's like this defining this idea that when an expert says, these are the guiding thoughts I use in order to determine what project to do next, know that it is not necessarily applicable to you, right? It totally depends on where you are in your experience. And that is not to say that some people deserve more because they've worked harder. It's just saying that their thinking process is in a different place because it's not there. A lot of other questions have been answered, and that's what we call experience, right? So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have different concerns and preferences and market and all sorts of factors that they're choosing to consider. That's the wicked thing about all advice, is that inherently you really have to consider the source. In us included.
Yeah.
Because we go back and forth between we'll talk about concerns that are really at the level of high expertise, and then we talk about starting out and everything in between, and we'll oscillate.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think the more self-centric we get about the different advice and when we're relating some expertise, it's tough because I think that stuff can sound the most authoritative, where it's like, wow, he or she sounded really like they knew that thing. And then all of a sudden people can either get bent out of shape because, well, darn them for thinking that different thing and what have you. But really, they're just saying what worked for them, right?
Yep. But it's tough to deliver that kind of... the thing I think that we're always striving for is to deliver the subtext and context of those statements as best we can. Speaking of expressing things as best we can, something you said about emailing your nephew just rung a bell. And man, this is another thing I'm struggling with this week. Well, this week, my whole life is email and trying to be respectful of other people's time via email. If I can just ping them on Twitter or with a text message, if I know them personally, go with that before writing a long email. Because I'm really trying to take seriously this notion of email is, and I think I got this from the In Beta podcast. Email is your to-do list that everybody else has control over, right? I sent you a thing to do, ding. I sent you another thing to do, ding. And it just keeps coming, right? And you're always playing whack-a-mole with it. So once I heard that, I was like, oh my God, that is totally what email is to me. And I hate email so much that I'm really, really cautious, almost trigger or gun shy of sending emails now. And then when I do send an email, I'm noticing how long they are. And I'm like, how? And I think of that expression, I didn't have time to write you a short letter, so I wrote you a long letter. I forget who that was. That Twain?
I thought it was attributed to Lincoln.
Oh, was it Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln. Okay.
But man, what a truth there is to that, right? It's like I'm trying to simplify this thing down into the bare minimum of what they need to read. And I'm trying to structure this thing so that it's yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, not thoughts. Please advise.
Oh, man. Some of those trite phrases once in a while hit nerves. Nerve endings exposed from years in the trenches and corporations.
So, yeah, same here.
I'll actually see if I can share one and watch it hit someone's nerve. Shoot, it's not coming to me. It's actually, I blocked it out. Which this other thing I forgot earlier was the Dreyfus skill model. Dreyfus.
Is it? Yeah. Well, however you pronounce it, is it Richard Dreyfus?
Exactly. That's how I try to remember it, but I always call it Paul Newman. I get distracted by Paul Newman on my way to Dreyfus, and then I'm like,
because he's so good looking,
right? Is it his looks? I have no idea.
It's that unidentifiable quality in his eyes. I can't put my finger on it, but I just want to stare. I want to stop and stare when Paul Newman's on the screen or on my salad dressing.
It is attributed to Abraham Lincoln. I'm sorry, I wrote such a long letter. I did not have time to write a short one.
It's a great expression.
Yeah.
From a great man. But anyway, it's something I'm thinking about a lot, is I'm trying to, A, not pull that trigger unless it's absolutely necessary, and B, when I do pull that trigger, make that shaft as small as short as possible. Mm-hmm. Get to the bare minimum. Email to me should read like a telegram.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Sure. We do. And that's funny. Yeah. Cost totally changes our behavior. Right. I mean, so why were telegrams short?
Yeah. You know, yeah. Because it was by the letter, right?
Yeah, you're paying by the letter or by the. Yeah. I assume you're paying by the letter, because if you're paying by the word, then people would use long words.
Yeah.
Or they would use, they would make up compound words.
Right.
Exactly. Did you say my cat is at the doctor is one word.
What are you, German? Yeah. No, you're right. There's seemingly no cost to email, but there is a profound cost to email, especially when you start getting real amounts of it.
And there's a cost to sending it too, as soon as you start seeking to craft them more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Multiple drafts.
That's one of my goals, is I want to start writing emails I know we're getting close to the ending mark here, but one of the things that concerns me about it is I worry that I'm going to come off very cold to my friends, and I don't mean to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like, okay, well, how do I do this? Do I send out a letter to everybody saying, I'm going to start reacting to email differently? Is that okay?
set up a web page and put a link to it in your footer.
Yeah.
And the webpage is an embedded video. Hi, I'm Jersey Drost. I wrote you an email. It's probably short. Might sound cold. I'm not cold. Thumbs up.
Oh, I'm totally going to do that now.
Actually, kind of like that too.
It might sound cold. I'm not cold. Thumbs up. The end. And you know what? Probably four people will click that video, but it'll be worth it.
They will probably enjoy it. Dang. Oh. That's like putting Easter eggs in your email.
That's a great idea, especially if I'm going to start writing them differently. I started responding to some people in that way. And again, it was to try to be respectful to them and to myself in a way. And I noticed that their responses to me got more and more solicitous, right?
Like, oh, wow. Drawing out. They're like, oh.
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
You know?
Funny.
Yeah. They were like, oh, you know, there was a sense of concern in the follow-ups. Like, oh, I hope I'm not ticking you off here. You know? And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to write tersely and get to the point.
Sign it, robot jersey. Just embed an image of Nintendo's whatever 1984, you know, Rob the Robot. I don't know.
All right.
Or I imagine you have other, you probably have drawn a robot jersey at some point. Anyway, I'm just.
No, this is another funny thing that we'll dog ear for a future show. I am not a fan of drawing myself under any circumstances. And the topic came up of something to do with me being in my own. I won't say for what, but I was asked to draw a comic, which is like semi-autobiographical in nature, like a story from my youth kind of thing as a comic. And the notion of drawing myself in my comic just repelled me. And I don't know why. I got to get to the root of that. Why would it bother me so much to draw myself? I don't know.
Yeah,
I do not have a drawing of a robot jersey. For as long as I can remember, like, I haven't drawn myself inserted into my stuff since I was a little kid. So
Super cool. That's that would make a very interesting topic. Yeah, I mean, not that you're, you know,
not like a challenge session, but yeah. But like, let's get to the bottom of what's,
because there's a lot of utility in it too. So yeah, fascinating topic.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of artists do tons of self portraits as part of their practice.
Yeah, and Ryan Estrada, when he was giving me advice on setting up the Comics Are Great site, he was saying, like, put a drawing of yourself in there saying, this is what I do, and blah, blah, blah. And the thought of doing that was just like, no. Why is it okay for people to see me in video, but not a caricature of myself? What? Weird. And what that raises is the question of, what does that caricature mean? Not to me, but what does it represent? So then we can unbox it in a useful capacity rather than putting me on the therapist couch.
Also open to the therapist couch, but yes.
I'm here to be your guinea pig, everybody. Okay, well.
All right.
30 minutes, you know, extra lean.
Extra, extra lean.
Extra, extra, extra lean.